Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just 15 bucks a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Welcome to Nobody Panic. Where did you download this from? Your phone, did you?
Oh, get it in the bin. Get
put
out
this,
of it.
Put this podcast in the... But listen to the full episode first so we get the download. Love that. Mwah, mwah, mwah.
We
then
got
put your phone in the bin.
Mwah, mwah, mwah. We got to take the mwah, mwah, mwahs from you. And then pop it straight in the bin.
And get this it. Is the paradox. I'm Stevie.
Yes, yes.
My name is Stevie Martin.
Do you want to announce that you're an addict so I can clap you?
My name's Stevie Martin, and I'm addicted to my phone.
Welcome, Stevie.
Now you.
My name is Tessa, and I am semi-addicted to my phone.
You're just as addicted to your phone.
You can't be a bit pregnant.
check your daily average screen time, and if it's above, like, 2 hours, you're addicted to your phone.
Oi.
Actually, that is a good point. What is your daily average
screen time? I don't know. You keep saying that, but how do I know?
Okay. Have you got an iPhone?
I got an iPhone?
Well, some people might have Androids. And also, your phone got run over by a car last week.
I'm sorry.
How dare you come back to me like that?
Sorry. I'm so sorry, of course. I could be using absolutely anything. I could be using a landline.
Yeah.
A quill. For those listening at home, I got one of those electric Zoom or jump bikes, whatever. Was merrily going along and my phone was going clang, 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 clang in the basket. And my instinct was like, you should move that. Mm. But I didn't, obviously. Then I ran a red light. I didn't really understand if I was allowed, but I did it. Then I could tell there was an energy in the cars behind me that were like, oh, God. Then I hit a speed bump quite hard. The phone flew out of the basket considerably above my head, smashed back down to the floor. I was like, oh no, tried to get my phone. And then tried to move my bike off so I could go around. As I went to get it, a car ran over it.
Yeah, it's very hard that, isn't it?
But it's since been repaired by a man in a back alley for me for £20. So listen.
Great.
Okay, my screen time.
Yes. You know where you can search?
Yep.
If you search two words, screen, space, time.
Okay.
It will tell you how long you've done today, but it will always also tell you your average.
Okay, this is fun. Yeah, you're disappointed, Steve. I haven't actually turned it on. So you won't know until...
Okay, well, mine is
0 minutes, so that's pretty good, isn't it?
Okay, fine. I hate that. Mine's normally around 5 hours. And then when it's over lockdown, it moved to 7 hours. There's a huge conspiracy because I looked up what the average person in the UK's daily average, two averages in that screen time was. They reckon, let me just find out who they is before I just, because I'm just contributing to the fake news. There we go. Look, it's a bullshit survey. Code Computer Love. Who are they?
Who are they? Who did you ask? Just everyone in the office. Who's that?
Yeah, that's three people. They said in the 16 to 24 age group, the average screen time is 4 hours. Are you having a laugh? But what that highlights is that you actually can't access the information, as in I would like to know genuinely what people's average screen time is, but you can't access that information, obviously, because it's very personal data. Sure. Essentially, I've wanted to do how to get off the phone for a long time. But then Tessa quite rightly was like, you won't. I was like, okay, yeah, fair enough.
Feel we might be able to actually do it this time.
I'll talk you through some of my things. We got an email. How to stop picking up your phone was the subject line. My interest was piqued.
Stevie from her phone said, hello, yes.
Hello to you, Juliet. Juliet said, I was wondering if you could do an episode on how to stop being addicted to your phone / social media. I feel like I've grown up in a generation where it's the norm to be on your phone 24/7.
Give Juliet a bit of a panache in her email.
Sorry. I was wondering if you could do an episode on how to stop being addicted to your phone / social media. I feel like I've grown up in a generation where it's the norm to be on your phone 24/7. And it's such a hard habit to break, especially now since everything is online. It's even harder to distance yourself from your phone. Oh, Lordy, I feel like I'd have so much free time and be happier if I could stop picking up my phone every 5 minutes. Thank you, Juliet. P.S. I love the podcast. Yeah. Immediately, straight off the bat, unfortunately, phones are multi-billion dollar industries and the entire of the world is moving towards being on your phone. So it's very, very difficult. And I don't think the aim of this podcast is to stop everyone being on their phone. Otherwise, go and be an isolated tomato farmer in the countryside regions of France. Sure. But, like, if you have a job and you are living in a city or you're just, you want to talk to your friends, like, everything is now moved
onto... Everything's on your phone.
You now need a phone for that. So it's very, very difficult and it's very unfair. It's, like, one of those things where, you sometimes read stuff about, recycling or, like, plastic use is a perfect example where it's, like, they made all this plastic, made it completely indispensable to our lives, and is now like, by the way, it's quite bad, you need to stop using it. You're like, how? Like, everything is made of plastic, you assholes. You can't, like, create a world.
But also, like, everything's on there. Like, it's got a compass, it's got a torch, it's got a spirit level. I'm at grandma's house, and the other night, it was dark. I was helping grandma up the outside. Listen, not important. It was dark.
I was hoisting grandma up the outside wall of the house.
Grandma is a liability. And every time you leave her, she's just off climbing something or getting on something. She says, I'm just going to go get this apple. And then off she is, like up the tree. And I'm like, oh, grandma. Anyway, she was like, come and help me with the pond. And then I was like, yeah, it's pitch black. And then she was like, I've got a torch. And then she was like, well done. Where was that in your bag? And I was like, it's my phone, obviously. Like, it's got all these things. We're completely, of course, we're addicted to them. It's a bloody Swiss Army knife.
I sent with ironically, that's the only thing you can't have is a knife.
Exactly what you're saying about the plastic. Like, it's not enough just someone to be like, don't do the plastic. You're like,
yes,
it's everything. The light touches Simba is plastic. You can't just tell me. You can't just tell me not to.
That bit in The Lion King, he's pointing at some Tupperware.
Really look, he's saying,
economy is unsustainable, Simba. Must reduce our plastic.
Where will we put the plastic? It won't biodegrade.
It can't, but for thousands of years, we're absolutely fucked, Simba.
if you really slow down the Disney movie, that's what it's saying.
It's a fable about plastic and phones. So before we get onto phones, because what I will say is there is hope. You can use it a bit less. That is genuinely within everyone's reach, and I've been trying.
That's within reach,
and I've succeeded. It's a long old journey, but it also can be quite harrowing because you have to face up to how much you're actually using it. And I didn't enjoy that stage. Mm. So before we do that, what's your adult thing that you've done this week, Tessa Coates?
Two tiny things. One is just a quick update on the book Nook. Had a couple of...
We should refresh people?
I shan't. If you're not following the whole series, I can't help you.
Tessa was explaining to me what a book Nook was. They keep being advertised on Instagram. It's essentially a diorama. I didn't know that word. It's like a little thing that you look into a book and it looks like you're looking into a street through the book, as if you've like poked through a little hole in the bookcase, and it could be like Diagon Alley or another thing. And she decided not to buy one because they're like 150 quid. She was going to make one. I said, maybe buy one. She's tried to make one.
A disaster. Okay. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing. You have to wire it with these miniature electrics. There's like a forum. I'm on various forums about making dolls' houses. I don't know what the fuck I'm doing, Stevie. I got to stop. But I have had various messages from other people on Instagram saying like, book Nook! !! And they too are being targeted them in their stories. So I'm glad I'm not alone. A second thing is, for those following my saga with British Gas.
Oh my God, okay. I didn't realise that would be coming back.
Yes, it's coming back. Listen, you've got to have a payoff for fans who've been for fans.
For a quick refresher, she called British Gas. That was it.
What you... previously, on Nobody Panic.
We need that.
Tessa called Nobody... Nobody. Tessa called Nobody Panic. Tessa called British Gas, who've been hounding me for 8 months with debt collection emails saying I owe them this money, and I don't, but I've just not done anything about it. Anyway, I rang them. Not Stevie, not only did I not owe them the money, they owed me £110.
It's always worth calling British Gas.
And being prepared. They were like... so that's me. Absolutely buzzing.
Mine's also previously on Nobody Panic. So about, I'd say, 4 months ago, my adult thing was I bought a steamer, like a clothes steamer, for like 30 quid. And I was like, so now it's just there. And I haven't obviously needed to use it because I haven't left the house. And when I have left the house, I've not been wearing anything that needs ironing. I've been wearing like absolute shocking...
Your old rags.
My old rags. And the other day, I was doing a job and I had to wear a sort of a nice top. And there was a top that I wanted to wear, and I was like, oh, but it looks really creased, and I don't have time to hang it up next to the shower for 2 days. Oh, well. And then thought, hang on, it's a job for the steamer. Oh, my God. It's an absolute dream. It takes about 3 minutes to do. Hang it up. You rub it on your clothes, essentially. Drops out. And then you look like I look like a proper person with clothes on, rather than someone that's just picked the things off the floor.
That's a nice one. That's really professional.
Three pretty good ones, and they're all part of an ongoing saga. That's nice, isn't it?
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
To get into the phone business.
But it's that like, okay, here we go. We got to, come on.
Right, come so on. Even though Juliet did say phone addiction / social media addiction, we can't tackle those both things in one. Like, you just can't. It has to be phone. Well, okay, we can, but...
We can.
Social media addiction is very different to being addicted to your phone, but they also are, as well, one and the same.
Well, what are you addicted to on your phone if it's not...
I mean... We literally just listed million things.
But you're not.
I'm addicted to the spirit level.
I'm not. I think the thing is that when you're on there, you stay on there. So like you finish Twitter, then you go on Instagram, then you go on LinkedIn, then you go on wherever you go next. Then you check your emails. By which point you're like, I wonder what's happening on Twitter. And then round you go.
Yes.
And
that used to be the case. I remember like when Facebook first started, very old, I didn't have a smartphone. That would be the case with like on my laptop with Facebook, and everyone would say, isn't it funny? You like check Facebook and then you like go and do something else. And then by the time you've done something else, you're like, oh, I'll just check Facebook again. But now there's more things to check. So you can legitimately spend the entire day just going around in a circle because the circle gets wider, doesn't it? Now like effing TikTok's involved.
Yeah. Then you check your TikTok. Then you check your whatever you
emails,
check.
Your WhatsApp,
check your spirit level, then a WhatsApp
the
comes
Guardian
in,
website,
and round and round and round and round you go.
So it's not just such. So even when I have gone through periods of time where I've been like, I'm not going to scroll on social media. I do need to post because I do two podcasts and things like my Twitch thing. So I do have to go on social media even when I'm trying not to actively go on it and scroll and whatever, but even then I still manage to clock up ridiculous phone time because I'm not scrolling on social media, I'll end up just scrolling on news sites or, you know, scrolling down my emails just looking at like, oh, Argos have emailed me, well, but I need some content.
Yeah, it's also like it's just so badly affecting our short-term memory, like in a really really intense way that's both active. It's like that sort of like, oh, I don't need to remember that day because I've written it down. It's in my WhatsApp somewhere. I'll go and find it when I need it. I don't need to remember the address. I don't need to remember the bus where I get off. So partly it's active, and then partly it's deeply, deeply subconscious that we're actually just like, we get so distracted. Like the other day I saw something on Twitter and was like, oh my goodness, I must book that running course that I want to do. Went to write it down on my notes app, opened my notes app, saw something else in there that I hadn't done, completely forgot the running thing. And I just, it was maybe 7 seconds later. Mm. And I just stared at the blank page and I was like, come on, come on, what are we here for?
There was an article I read about a while ago, which is sort of like an in-depth look by a psychologist about phones, obviously, but it was much less analytical. It was very good, because basically he broke down exactly how your brain works, and our brains are incredibly clever, and they are wired for the path of least resistance. Our brains are constantly trying to help us. So that's why we talk quite a lot on this podcast about things like, for example, you know, why is my jealousy out of control? And it's like, well, it's actually a very helpful function, but your brain is just got too helpful, because it's trying to show you the thing that you really want to do by being like, look, you feel shit about that because you want to do it, see? And then you're like, oh, shut up, brain, you're horrible. And it's like, no, I'm just trying to help. And this is what your brain is doing with your phone, because it sees, oh, well, Stevie's got another brain. Stevie's got another brain that retains stuff, that has everything. So Stevie doesn't need me to do that. So that's why that subconscious level is not happening anymore. That why we are unable to retain facts like we used to. We're unable to, because our brain is like, oh, it's okay, because she's got Google. That's essentially what our brain's doing. And also as well, the other thing which really freaks me out is that our brains are designed to have periods of downtime where we're literally not thinking about stuff. And if you think about time, some of you won't have this, but if you're a little bit older, you will have had a significant period of your life without a smartphone. And you might be like, what did I do? Like, what did I do in those moments where it was like, in between watching TV and like my food being ready, did I just sit and stare at the wall? Like, I don't understand what I was doing. Because now every single time you have a break, well, I do, I'll scroll. There's something to do in every moment. And apparently that's incredibly dangerous, because what your brain is supposed to be doing is your brain is supposed to be formulating thoughts, organising things, and basically taking stock of what has just happened. So if your brain isn't able to do that, it doesn't take stock of what's just happened, why then often you'll find that you'll look back on your day and be like, what did I do? I have no idea what I did. And it's because your brain hasn't formulated that memory, because it's just gone straight to something else. So it's incredibly damaging. But the thing is, we all know this, I don't want to frighten people, but it's so bad for us. Or it's, rather than being bad, it's just changing us completely, because it's not going to go away. So we are all going to change, and our brains have already changed now, and it's too late to go back. But we can definitely try to stop as much. And I think it's the passive use of the phone that has to stop. That's the thing that everyone kind of agrees. If you need to go on there because you need to contact somebody, you need to WhatsApp somebody about work, you need to check your emails, because, I don't know, well, particularly in our jobs, if you don't check your emails, then you often miss out on jobs. Like I do voiceovers, and my voiceover agent literally messages me sometimes 2 hours before a job. And if I don't message back, I lose the money and I lose the job. So I have to have my specific notifications going, but I don't have to have all of them. So that's the first tip, is that get rid of all of the push notifications on every single app that you have that isn't necessary. So I have like WhatsApp and I have email. That's it. I don't have Twitter, I don't have Facebook. So I have to go on those apps to check them. And it doesn't make a huge difference, but it kind of does when you, because your phone doesn't go anymore.
I'm still reeling about the second brain thing. So that is bad. That is bad. And that we aren't prepared to be alone. We aren't just prepared to sit for even a second with our thoughts, or just to sit with nothing. We're just like, quick, now how will I stimulate? Yum, 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 yum. Constant stimuli. And I think we need to probably address like where that's coming from. The brain thing, it's sometimes called the smoke detector effect. When your brain does something it's designed for, but it has like a side effect. So for example, the brain tolerates it because, so for example, a smoke detector is extremely highly sensitive And the side effect is that therefore sometimes it goes off in the middle of the night by accident, or it goes off when you're making toast.
Yeah.
But you tolerate that because better that it's too sensitive and it wakes you up when there's a fire. So you tolerate it going off for the smoke thing. And that's sometimes what the brain does, is it's like, well, it's not designed for this, but it's oversensitive, or it's overcompensated itself. And so it's, and you've put it in an environment where it's not, you know, it's doing its job too well, because it thinks there's a second brain.
Yes.
Yes, the notification thing is so important. It's taking away, it's making an active choice to not be a passive scroller who just like automatically picks up their phone. And a big part of that passive thing is therefore having that when you look at your phone, there's nothing there. There's nothing enticing you in. You have to make the choice then to go in. But if you're constantly being like, if it's constantly saying like, hello, do you want to look at me? Hello, hello, there's a notification. Hello, there's a message. Hello, hello, come out here. Then of course you'll be drawn into it. But the more that you can be like, no, thank you. I actually deleted Instagram and Twitter the other day. I had a glass of rosé with a friend of the podcast, Emma City. I just picked up my phone and I, bzz, bzz, and they were gone. And obviously they're all still there. I've just deleted the app.
You can go on Safari.
I can go on Safari. I can listen. Don't think I haven't been in, but I have deleted the apps. And it is mind-blowing. Firstly, I felt very, very free and very, very good doing it. But in the next couple of days, the amount of times I picked up my phone, opened it, remembered I didn't have the app, put it down, like the instinct in your brain to just constantly pick up this phone and see, like, I'll go in there. And then to open the phone and see that, you know, there is nothing but the spirit level. I can't do anything on this phone. You know, it does make you realise, I think, when they're gone, just how passively dependent you are on them and how often you pick them up without even actively thinking it. You just think like your instinct is like, oh, it's downtime, I'll just pick that up. Oh, I'm on the bus, I'll pick up my phone. Oh, I'm sat down, I'll pick up my phone.
Yes. And I think the biggest, like with most things that we say, you've got to know what the problem is before you can solve it. So if you don't have your screen time on, you should probably put your screen time on so that it can measure it, because that is actually incredibly helpful. It's like not checking your bank balance and then being like, why am I broke? You're like, well, that
was,
I remember
check
that
because you knew it was bad,
because you were frightened of it being bad. And it's very frightening looking at your screen time, because it's always higher than you think. And when you actually think hour to hour, even like me saying, you know, 5 hours, that's okay. When you think about how long 5 hours is, that's a long time. Yeah, you need to be able to sort of chart the damage before you can kind of see what sort of problem is. And also, everybody uses their phone in different ways, but we're all doing the same sort of thing. So what's fascinating I found is that when you talk to someone, like you just said, Tessa, and I'll say all the time, we will rattle off sort of things we've done to try to stop. And when you break down those things, that's like, it's addict behavior. It's like,
absolutely.
Oh, it's in the other room. I have to put it in the other room. Like if you replace that with like alcohol, like, so I don't have the bottles in the house. I put them in a cupboard so you can't see them.
If somebody said to you, I don't open it, but I do sleep with the bottle in the bed. And I touch it as soon as I wake up, and it's the last thing I touch before I go to sleep, and I keep it with me just for safety, and I try not to look at it in the day, but it is with me every single second. Yeah. You'd be like, okay.
Cool.
Like, and that's what we're all doing, and we're all just being like, that's fine, that's absolutely fine.
And Juliet hits on the reason why is because it's socially acceptable. This is the acceptable addiction to have. So everyone around you is using it. Everyone around you, everyone goes, oh yeah, I use my phone too much. Everyone does. So you feel that you are the same. I remember I was talking to somebody about, my therapist, about like body image and things like that. And she was like, she said, just because most women don't understand what, like, struggle with their own image, doesn't mean it's normal and you should accept it. It means that you have to then fight even harder, because now all, you know, if you're saying all your friends have the same thing that you feel sometimes, doesn't mean it's right. And it's exactly the same as with the phone. Just because like an entire population of people are going like, yes, I'm addicted, doesn't mean we should all be like, oh cool, I'll just lean
just
into,
like,
it.
Just because all the lads in the opioid dens, you know, in the 18th century, like, oh, dreadfully addicted to opioids. And everyone's like, yeah.
Pass me the poppy.
Yeah, yes, please. Or like, you know, the arsenic factories where everyone was like, you know, glowing green from arsenic and then their skin was dropping off. And I was like, oh, addicted to arsenic. Yeah. Well, I try and do as little arsenic as I can, but yeah, just because everyone's doing it doesn't make it any better. It just means that they'll look back in possibly a not too distant future and be like, this whole generation were completely addicted to something and everybody knew and everyone knew it was bad, but the addiction was too big and it was so socially acceptable that it just, because it was just the norm, that was it. It was expected that everyone on the bus would be on their phone, and if you were at work and then you was expected that a lunch break or something, everyone would just be eating but also be also just staring at a piece of glass.
Yeah, and that's the thing, that's the way of doing, that's what I found very helpful, is I've identified the times I go on my phone like purely passively. So mm-hmm. My friend the other day was like, I've started using the phone, my phone like on the loo, and I've been like, I've only just stopped, I've been doing that for years, mate. I don't do that now, which the first few times you're just sort of staring and having a wee. It's weird, which is terrifying, but that's weird. That's something, and I've just thought, I'm going to bring back the toilet book stack. That's what I'm going to do.
Perfect.
Because I've just been staring at the wall being like, oh, that's weird.
Great. So replacement addiction, replacement. Very important. Like,
yes, because this is something.
Wanted a cigarette? Have an orange. You want your phone on the toilet? Read a humorous small book.
Small but read an orange, have an orange,
have an orange.
Why not? Do whatever you need. And the other thing was, and I spoke about this before, is the point when I was like, oh, I have a problem, is when I found I had no problem watching TV before. Suddenly I was on my phone watching TV, watching shows that I really want to watch, not just like passive shows like Ozark, where you've really got to follow the plot. And then I'd find out that I didn't know what was going on because I'd just been on Twitter for the last 10 minutes and I didn't know how I'd done that. So now it's phone in the other room when I'm watching TV, when I'm like making dinner, when like me and my boyfriend are just having a nice evening. Why am I on my phone when I'm supposed to be talking and having a nice time?
So with the love of your life.
So my phone, I'm treating my phone like the love of my life.
Exactly.
So put the phone in the other room for the evenings, and that's what I've been. And then the final thing, which I found very helpful, was there was this thing a couple of weeks ago, I can't remember if I spoke about it on here, but it was like a digital detox day that Zoella had done, and I don't really follow Zoella or whatever, but my sister was doing it and she told me about it, and I was like, okay. And it was basically just don't go on social media for a day. I laughed when I saw the campaigns. I was like, this is where we're at, like one day a year we won't go on social media, my god. Then I tried it and my god, like the amount of times I went to my phone, I had to be like, no. And then also, I had a lovely day. Like, the day was so long. We did loads of stuff. I went and got some fudge, went for a walk. I read loads of my book. Sat in the park. Obviously, I do that as well. But in between that, I'm also on my phone. And it felt so nice, but it felt so odd. It felt so singular to not have gone on it once. And so now, every week, it's normally a weekend, I did it yesterday, I will not go on social media. And it's not necessarily phone, because sometimes I need WhatsApp or I need to check emails or something on a weekend, but not often. But I don't go on my phone. And that has brought my weekly average down loads. And also it means, I hope that will kind of bleed into the rest of my week as well. So I hope it will just be a step towards not being so passive. And what's fascinating is that you don't miss anything. All you miss is exactly what you expect to miss. You miss like some news story that was on a news website anyway. You miss everyone's hot takes. No one cares about those. You miss like just people saying stupid stuff. You miss some pictures of someone in the park that you're like, oh, I wasn't invited. Like nothing bad for a day.
Yes. I think a big thing, especially like Twitter, like there is nothing good on Twitter right now. There is a dystopian horror show happening, terrible information about something awful, and then like maybe a good dog, but somebody else will message you the dog. Like you will see the dog. You will see, if there's a really good video, it will circulate around. So you don't have to be the forefront of the stuff, because in order to get the, it's like basically like we're panning for gold to get some gold nuggets, and we're like, we got to get through all this, but we're panning in literal shit, and we're like, but we've got to stay in this shit to get the gold nuggets. But also,
because once a day I go, oh yeah,
yeah, because once a day you go, oh, that's funny, and then you pass it to the person next to you who goes, yeah, I just saw that. I just saw that too. So then you're like, what was I doing panning for gold in this river of shit? Whereas like people can sit up there on the riverbank having a fantastic day away from the shit, and then I'll bring them a piece of gold and they'll really enjoy it and they'll be like, thank you, and then they'll be like, go get another, you know? So like those people up the hill, you can be them because people will bring the gold to you. You know, you like you don't have to be in the, so get off Twitter because there's nothing there. And then Instagram, it's just people pretending they're not at parties or not on holiday when they are on holiday or just openly
at the moment,
being on holiday
or
being places and everybody just freaking out about who it is and not where. So like don't, also there's nothing there, you know? A really good thing is to identify what you are using as your excuse with your phone because you know you're addicted to it, we know you're addicted to it. What are you saying is your excuse? Is it, I need to be on Instagram for work, I need to be on Twitter for work, I need to check my emails, and I'm not saying what you're saying is an excuse, Stevie, but
it
I
is.
Am saying that it is possible. I truly believe unless you are working in A&E and like lives are hanging by the balance per second, your work is not so crucial that you aren't able to say to the people you work with or around you, like, these are my hours, these are my office hours, please don't contact me.
Absolutely.
This time.
I've like
to say
absolutely.
To your voiceover agent, you know, please can you text me if it's a crucial thing so I don't have to go on my emails all the time? Like, please can we, like, what are the things you can put in place so that you don't have to use those excuses that you trick yourself into, which is like, I have to do this thing now. I have to get in the river of shit.
Yes.
And I was like, nobody has to get in that river. You don't have to get in there.
There's so much about this which is like, yeah, I use my phone for work because obviously now a lot of people, especially London media vibes, where you know their job is through Instagram or their job is, I don't know, like an element of an influencer or whatever, but that still means that you could still, you know, attribute morning, maybe like, you know, an hour or two in the afternoon and then the evening or whatever. Like you can have windows of time that you check that stuff. No part of your job means that you have to be on it all day, like what, like at all. But I do know, I've got my sister's one of them who has to be on it a lot more than I do because she like designs things on there. She because of how useful phones are and because they've wheedled their way into every element of, you know, existence, she uses a lot of things on her phone when actually maybe she could use it, it's almost pointless, but it's like on her Mac or on her iPad.
I do think
just getting
like,
off the phone is better.
Moving the thing from your stuff onto your computer screen is a huge step because then at least this phone is not, becomes a thing that's quite boring, this phone, as opposed to being indispensable thing. It becomes like, oh, I don't need it as much, and it takes away some of that power because we're so like, oh, this phone helps me, but really we are the constant life source to the phone. Like we are absolutely, you know, we keep it, we charge it, we keep it precious, we keep it in a case, we carry it, we sometimes let it be run over by a car, but mostly we like, and I think part of my people are always like, why isn't your phone in a case? And I think a true part of that is like somewhere deep down, I'm like, because I don't want to give it too much power. You know, I want it to be something that's.
That means
like,
you end up spending so much more money because it just will break.
It's not really a money thing. I mean, and also I've got a nice man down an alley who puts a new screen on for me. Like, and look, I break it twice a year, sure. But it also means I'm like, it's not my most precious thing. I feel able to be like, yeah, I'm not as wedded to it. I do think, and we know we're coming to the end here, but I do think, like, I truly recommend, if this is something for you that you're like, oh my God, yes, please, I really am addicted, I really recommend going absolutely cold turkey. Open your apps right this second, delete Twitter, delete Instagram, delete whatever your thing is that you're addicted to. You will, it's all still there. It's not gone anywhere. It's just the app is gone. You can look at it on your computer. You can look at it somewhere else, but it means that the phone does not become your only way into those things. And it takes away some of that power.
Yeah.
And the just feeling over the next couple of hours or however long you manage between the moment you do it and when you inevitably put them back again, just seeing how many times your hands pick it up, how many times that you reflectively go there and just see like, oh my Lord, this is such a big issue.
Yeah, look at it with curiosity, like a scientific experiment. And also, and then I would recommend as well having one day where you don't, every week, it doesn't matter what you're doing, one day every week where you do not go, where you do not go on your phone. It's Sunday's obviously the best, but like if you work on Sundays, then obviously not. Pick a day that's really good for you. Oh my God, don't get an app that helps you get off your phone because that's an oxymoron and it doesn't make any sense and it's just going to make you feel bad about yourself. And you, there's no other way than just getting off your phone. That obviously an app that helps you get off your phone makes no sense. So don't. And there's also, there's some incredible things if you Google it. One is a suggestion that you buy a fake phone just for people that need to hold a phone in their hand. This is, we're at this level now, so try and We basically need to get out before you need to hold a fake phone in your hand.
As with all addictions, a gradual decrease is statistically not proven to work. It's a way of you tricking yourself into being like, yeah, I'm doing it. I don't go on for 45 minutes on a Sunday. Like, you've got to go cold turkey because you will climb your way back out again, but you've got to go cold turkey just to see how much this is affecting your life.
Yes, and then you can make a plan. Then you can be like, okay, make a plan. I use it, you know, I've found that I used it a lot during commuting, so now I always take a book with me and I read the book. Mm-hmm, That's what I do. Or I take a notepad and I like jot down ideas for projects or work that I'm doing. But you have to... It's like with any sort of terrible habit. The first kind of month or so of you doing this will feel very like, oh God, this is actually quite a lot of effort to not do this. But then it becomes a lot easier the more you do it. So then you'll naturally be, for example, not taking your phone into the toilet. You'll naturally be not looking at your phone during a commute. It will switch over to being odd to get your phone out on the tube or on the train because it's actually you're so used to now doing the other things. So you want to, it'll feel weird for a bit, but that will go away. That will stop because now it is. Now I really notice it when I check my phone on the tube because I'm like, oh, but I've stopped doing this. And it feels really like, oh, I'm doing that again. And it feels kind of gross. Mm. But yeah, and I think have your average daily screen time because knowing that is coming up on Monday makes me really like, no, I don't need to look at it now. Like, I don't want to look at that number and have it be 7.5 hours, which it was two weeks ago because I was like, fuck it, don't care. I do care. And yeah.
I think what you could do with 7.5 hours. That's loads of time.
So much.
Get a wristwatch, get a radio alarm clock, get your own spirit level, get a compass.
Just get a spirit level because that's what we're all using it for. Have and it thing, needs to so start.
Like, be aware of what your own excuses are and have the physical thing there to replace it.
Yes.
So that if you're like, I don't want to be alone, make sure you've got your notebook. Make sure that you know. And we believe in you. And you've got to do it this second. Delete them.
But then follow us on Twitter at NobodyPanicPod. And
no, don't. We don't need you.
Yes, it's a 5. And Tessa at Tessa Coates. And email us, NobodyPanicPodcast@gmail.com.
Do all those things on your phone. No, don't. Don't. Be free. Be free.
Do them
just
on your
throw
laptop.
Yourself into the river.
Get into nature. But hopefully that helps. Because obviously it's not a problem we can solve unless we single-handedly take on Silicon Valley, but I can tell you that I am a lot more mindful of it, and it's helped me a lot more. Just those tiny things that I'm still on my phone too much, but it's an ongoing process, and to not beat yourself up if you have a week where it goes back up again, and you're like, oh God, I've fucked it now. I might as well just keep going. Just know, like, it will be an up and down thing, but as long as you're aware of it, that's half the battle.
Exactly.
And have
a
lovely
week. We're here for you. You cannot contact us because you mustn't use your phone, but just take it hard. That will do. Yes. I hope that was some help to everyone. Delete that right this second. Bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, I'm Lucy Beaumont.
And guess what? I'm Sam Campbell.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, you might enjoy our podcast. It's called Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.
We have a podcast and it might be, I probably don't want to sound, like I'm bragging, but it's dynamite. It is electric. It's high voltage. And please, we really need you to listen. You don't understand how much we need this.
Is it on all the platforms?
Oh, it absolutely is. But this one's out now. Lucy and Sam's Perfect Brains.